week was the first part of that. It's only two parts. We'll finish it up this morning. And you have notes in your bulletin, extensive notes again, so I'd encourage you to follow along and take note of that. I don't know how long we've been in this series on spiritual warfare, but I appreciate the affirmation from you all that this has been a good study for us. And I want to thank you for that, for allowing me to teach you about spiritual warfare. Admittedly, it's not a subject that is taught a great deal in churches, but it's nonetheless necessary to understand the works and the ways of the enemy that we have. For from the moment any person trusts in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have an enemy. They inherit an enemy that will be with them, harassing them, opposing them all their life. Now, that's kind of a sad thing to say, isn't it? But it's nonetheless reality. And as we saw last week, one of the primary means of attack of the enemy is on our families. He attacks husbands and wives. He attacks marriages. And we're seeing more and more unhappy marriages, those of us who are involved in counseling, more and more marriages that we say are on the rocks, that are suffering in some area, and it's the work of the enemy, and we should not be surprised at that. But the good news is that Jesus has defeated the power of the enemy, especially as the enemy endeavors to work in the area of family and family relationships. Now, last week we took a look at this. We looked at some of the signs that the enemy is attacking the family, especially our children. And today we're going to try to get more practical in answering the question, what can be done to counteract Satan's attacks against your families? Now, first of all, this is very, very basic. We're going to have trouble, Cindy, if we don't get this thing going here. So, try to restart. Okay, there it is. Okay. Fathers and mothers must be born again. Now, isn't that basic? But you cannot fight the enemy if you're helping the enemy. If you're on the enemy's side, the only way to fight the enemy is to be on the other side, to be on God's side, Jesus' side. And so the first thing that fathers and mothers need to do is to give their life to Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that everybody here has given their life to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, toward the end of this sermon or at the end of this message this morning, this teaching time, I'm going to give you that opportunity to do that. The main thing is to be born again, is to have your sins forgiven. And it is true that once you do that, you're the enemy of our enemy. But that's okay, because Jesus Christ has won the battle. He's gained the victory. The enemy's defeated. He knows it. The enemy, yes, is powerful, can exert control in our lives and in our relationships. Yes, that's true. But we're on the winning side. And so the essential thing is to have eternal life, be born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's where we start. And then secondly, this is not working too well today. Okay, you're following? Okay. Secondly, you have to understand your identity in Christ. Parents need to understand their identity in Christ. Those key verses are Ephesians 1 through 17, verses 2-6. And I mentioned those again. We've talked about those many times, but those are the scriptures that teach us that the enemy is under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in total control, total authority, because he is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the heavenlies. And the enemy is subject to us as well, because we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ and seated with him in the heavenlies. And so we have the authority, the delegated authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Let's go back to our Sunday school days and the story of David and Goliath. Who was stronger, David or Goliath? Okay, no, he wasn't. Goliath wasn't stronger. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. Let me preach a little bit this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 17. Why don't you see something here? See something that David knew. 1 Samuel 17, verse 41. And this is a mental image that's probably helpful for you to keep in mind when it comes to spiritual warfare. Okay? 1 Samuel 17, 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. Evil spirits despise you. They despise me. Okay? He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. I've had evil spirits curse me in working with people. Do you know evil spirits cuss? They do. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." What'd Peter say the enemy does? He walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. David said to the Philistine, verse 45, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." That's our authority in Christ over the enemy. "This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's." Hear that? The battle is the Lord's. "And he will give all of you into our hands." David knew that he was no match for the enemy in himself, but because the Spirit of God, the anointing of God was on him, that he was going to be victorious. And the same thing is true for us. We're no match in ourselves for an evil spirit. But with the authority of Christ, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, with our union with Jesus Christ, we will vanquish the enemy every single time. Okay? The victory is ours. The battle is the Lord's. And I just wanted you to have that image of David and Goliath in your mind. Okay, now this must be working. Parents must be aware of how the enemy attacks the family. Our ignorance gives Satan the advantage, and that's why we've been doing this study for the last couple months, because I don't want this church family to be ignorant of how the enemy works. Fourth is the man must take the lead in protecting his family from Satan's attacks. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:3, "The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." According to Scripture, the man is the head of the home, the head of the family. And therefore, the greatest responsibility for the protection of the family resides in you gentlemen here today. not in your wife, but in you. Now, gentlemen, let's just picture this. What happens if you are taking your wife shopping at Kohl's? Or at Nordstrom's? Or at Bed Bath & Beyond? And you're out in the parking lot and you're starting to walk into the store and some guy rushes between the cars and starts beating on your wife. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to let him do it? I don't think there's a guy here that would let that happen. But gentlemen, you're letting it happen in the spiritual realm. You're letting it happen in the realm of evil. Because the enemy's harassing your wife. What happens if you go to pick your kid up at school? And you pull up to the curb and you see some big burly guy beating on your kid in the schoolyard waiting for you. What are you going to do? Sit in your car and honk the horn? You're going to explode out of that car and you're going to go and you're going to do everything you can to put the hurting on that guy. Well, the enemy is harassing you, beating up your kids. Now, maybe that's a crude example, but gentlemen, that's what's happening in the spiritual realm. And you can't idly stand by while it happens, while the enemy harasses your wife and your children. You're responsible. And the Lord has given you great authority over your family to protect them from the enemy. Well, how can that happen? How can a man do that? How can a man protect his family from satanic attacks? First of all, by praying spiritual warfare prayers for your family. A lot of you, I know, pray for your family, but do you include spiritual warfare? Do you address Satan and evil spirits directly? Do you give authoritative commands against the enemy? Do you use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you use the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been talking about? Do you include spiritual warfare prayer for your family? I want to hand out some things to you. Ushers, I think you've been alerted to this. If you guys could come, gals, guys, could come, and there's spiritual warfare prayers. I put together four spiritual warfare prayers for you. So come on, guys, hand them out. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You're going to be given a sheet like this. It's laminated. That's got four spiritual warfare prayers on them. The one is a sample command to evict evil spirits from your life or in assisting another person. I want everybody to have one of these. We made them so that you can put them in your Bible. You can keep them in your Bible. You can stick it on your fridge. There'll probably be extra ones if you would need an extra one. But I wanted to give you this tool so that you wouldn't have any questions about how to pray and how to command. First is, as I said, a sample command to evict evil spirits from your life or in assisting another person. And there's a sample spiritual warfare prayer and command for children under demonic attack. And then there's a nighttime prayer and command for children. And then there's a sample prayer and command to cleanse a room. Sometimes demonic activity takes place in a room or the home, and it's essential to know what to do to get rid of that activity when it takes place in your home. So you can have these to take with you. As I said, put in your Bible and use them as a model. You may not want to pray or command exactly as there, but at least it's a guideline for you to be able to use. Okay? Gentlemen, be praying spiritual warfare prayers for your family. Included in that is taking on the whole armor of God every day, for your family. The whole armor of God is found in Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. It's the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith. Okay? So that's the armor of God. The armor of God is Jesus Himself. And I believe that a man has the authority as the priest of your family, the head of your home. I believe you have the authority to take on the whole armor of God, not only for yourself, but for your wife and your kids as well. Okay? So you can do this every day. What's better than having being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ as our protection and the protection of your family? You've got the authority, gentlemen, to be able to do that. And then you need to be praying with your wife. Do you have a prayer time with your wife? Who initiates prayer in your family? Gentlemen, it ought to be you that does that. Your wife shouldn't be the one that come up to you and say, honey, can we pray together? You ought to be initiating prayer in your family. You ought to be leading in family prayer. Also, you need to pray over your home. Pray over your house and your family at night. Refer to the card there if you need some help to do that. And we've talked before about how that the enemy often harasses children at night. They have trouble sleeping. They see images. They see shapes in their room. They're scared at night. Go into the room, Dad, and pray over your children and your family. You pray by praying and commanding over the children at night when they sense an evil influence, as I've said. So be a prayer warrior. I really like this picture. You see that? A dad kneeling by the bed of his child and praying. Just kind of keep that image in mind. Dad, it's a privilege for you to be able to do that. A sample prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I come before you on behalf of my child. I ask that you make this command effective in the realm of evil. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember it's always in His name. By His blood, I speak to all evil spirits influencing my child's name by my authority as his father, mother, grandparent. We'll talk about you grandparents in just a minute. I command all evil spirits influencing him to leave him, leave her, leave the room, be gone to where the Lord Jesus Christ sends you. Secondly, a man protects his family by teaching the family about spiritual warfare. You can take the notes that I've been giving you. You can teach the family about spiritual warfare. Confront evil spirits directly. Again, using your authority in Christ, authoritative commands of binding, casting out, always using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in His blood. Sometimes in cleansing a room, what I recommend when you sense evil presence in a room or in your home, weird things are happening in the home, weird things are happening in the room, get some olive oil, put crosses of oil on each wall, each of the four walls, and then pray and command over that room. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His blood, we cancel out all satanic activity that's ever taken place in this room. We dedicate this room now to the Lord Jesus Christ alone and His use. We dedicate this room as holy ground, and we command in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that any evil spirits that are residing in this room leave this room and be gone to where the Lord Jesus Christ sends you. That's cleansing a room. You say, does that work? Yeah, it works. Absolutely it works. And you may have to do it again, but do it. And it'll stop what the weird stuff that's happening in your home or in a child's room. Okay? It's all relating back to Jesus and His work on the cross in defeating the enemy there by His blood that was shed to disarm the powers of darkness and to set the children of God free. Okay? Confront evil spirits directly. Now, also what a husband can do, a man can do, is destroy points of contact in the home. What are they? All right, well, let me stretch you a little bit this morning, as if I haven't been stretching you enough already over the last months. I'll stretch you a little more. Okay? What can you do? Fire me? So. Okay. Evil spirits can inhabit objects. They do. And that object can then be a point of contact between their world and ours. It can serve as an entry portal for an evil spirit to enter a room or a home and harass you. These objects need to be destroyed. Burning is best, but if you can't burn them, crush them, get rid of them, get them out of your home, do something with them. You may be surprised on some of these things. If you try to burn this item, it won't burn. Okay. What are some points of contact? Let me just list some here for you quickly. Pornography is a point of contact. Satanic symbols and pictures. Lucky Charms, not the cereal, but you know what I mean. Crystals, dream catchers, fortune-telling items like a Ouija board or tarot cards, voodoo objects, dolls, bones, stuff like that. Native American artifacts. Please hear me. I have nothing whatsoever against Native Americans. But the Native American culture is one of the most demonic cultures that I'm aware of. And their objects can certainly be points of contact into the evil spirit realm. Pipes, feathers, masks, bowls, baskets, headdresses, rattles, hatchets, whatever. Be very cautious about having Native American artifacts in your home. Islamic items, occult objects, books, candles, knives, incense, robes, any kind of that stuff, Masonic paraphernalia, any objects from a demonized person, even objects of great value. I was working with a woman once in counseling quite extensively, and her mother was a very heavily demonized individual. And over the years, her mother had given her items. And in the counseling session, the Lord made it crystal clear to her that she needed to get rid of those items that were given to her by her mother. I remember one of the items was a beautiful, elaborate dollhouse. And it took her a while until finally she came to the place where she put that thing on the curb and got rid of it. And this was expensive items. But the Lord made it clear to her, you dare not keep this stuff in your home any longer, because it was a point of contact. Any objects made by a shaman or a witch doctor. You know, when I was a kid, missionaries used to come for missions conference. And they would set up what we called a curio table. Remember the days of curio tables? And they would bring stuff like stuff that witch doctors made. And, oh, you know, the witch doctor in our village made this. Some of these missionaries were getting extremely sick and having all sorts of psychological problems. And it finally dawned on them that this stuff were points of contact into the evil spirit realm. And they had to get rid of that stuff. And I don't think you see that much of that anymore. Do you, with missionaries coming from overseas? because of this fact that we're getting more aware of how the enemy works. A man protects his family by taking the children through the seven steps to freedom. This is a spiritual inventory. It's a house cleaning. And you can go online at FICM.org and you can get children's version of the seven steps, teen versions of the seven steps. And you can take your children through the seven steps to freedom. A man also has to police the ungodly influences in the children's lives. Gentlemen, we need to be very careful what our kids watch on TV, the music they listen to, the movies they go to see, the video games they play, computer games, the books they read, where they go, who they spend time with, any occult games that they like. We've got to be aware if our children are exhibiting any abnormal or unusual behavior. We talked about that last week. In language, dress, or whatever. We got to be aware of their social networking. Cell phones, you know, everybody's got cell phones now. And it's not just a cell phone, they're smartphones. And so little kids can access the internet. What are they going to access? Sometimes they access stuff that's not good. Now, okay, guys, you can breathe now, and I'll talk to the women. A little bit. How can a woman protect her family from the attacks of the enemy? A wife not only has great power over the kingdom of darkness because she's one with Christ, but because she's one with her husband and family's head. Okay? It's that union with a man and a woman that they share. And I'll tell you, the enemy really understands, probably better than we do, the authority structure in the home, with the head of the home being Christ, and then the man, and then the woman, and the wife, and the children. There is a line of authority, and when we respect that line of authority, the family works better. The family's happier. The family functions according to God's plan. And is that surprising? Whenever you operate according to God's plan, things are better. So, gals, what can you do? Well, let's see. You can pray spiritual warfare prayers for your husband and your children. He's not the only one that can pray spiritual warfare prayers. You do that as well. And then you support and encourage and participate with your husband's protective efforts. If he's in a room praying over your children at night, be there with him. If he's cleansing a room, if he's cleansing a home, be there with him. Support, encourage, participate along with him. Here's an important one. Ladies, you must assume the role of the family's protector if your husband is unable, unwilling, or absent. You assume the role. Jesus will honor that. The enemy absolutely will honor that. Your kids, your family needs a protector, and you can be that person. Just because you may not be married, just because you're not living with your husband any longer, that's not an excuse. You step up and assume that role of your family's protector. And the Lord will honor that. Absolutely. And then, ladies, you have a perceptive sixth sense in discerning the spirits.
We do?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And, gentlemen, we better learn to rely on this sixth sense that our wives have. Have you ever noticed that, gentlemen? What are you looking at? Oh, okay, you're looking up there. Okay. I saw some of you looking. Okay. But gentlemen, rely on your wife. When your wife says, hey, something just doesn't feel right here. Oh, really? You better take it seriously when she says that. I think the Lord has given wives, women, an extra bit of sensitivity that we as guys may not have. That's what I mean by that. So we learn to rely on that. Ladies, be a loving teacher and a godly role model, especially for your daughters. Let them see in you all that they need to be as young ladies. Grandparents, what can grandparents do? Well, first of all, be a godly example to the family. So often, grandparents are not the godly example they need to be. They need to teach the Word of God to the family. Okay, when you are babysitting your kids, what do? Well, get a Bible story out. Read that to your kids, your grandkids. Do something to teach them the Word of God. Not only live it out, but actually teach them the Word of God. There are some families where the parents are not teaching their children the Word of God. And grandparents, you can step in and you can provide that teaching. If you don't, where are they going to get it? Don't rely on the church to do it. You step in. You're the family. And teach the Word of God. Again, pray spiritual warfare prayers for the family. You can do that. Fourthly, be a safe person. What do I mean by be a safe person? Unfortunately, there's three family members that are the primary abusers of children in the family. Okay? You want to know what they are? The father, the grandfather, and the uncle. Primarily, children are abused by the men in the family. Not by friends, but by the men in the family that they know and respect. Okay? Isn't that sad and tragic that that happens? But it's true. Okay? And I told you gave you some horror stories last week about fathers that were abusing their children in a church. Well, what else can be done? You have to teach your children to engage in spiritual warfare themselves. Parents or grandparents are never free from responsibility to engage in spiritual warfare on behalf of their kids. However, when a child is able, he should be taught to battle against the enemy on his own. Okay, this is very, very simple for a little child. I think you can teach them this. I'm talking about a little child. You can teach them, don't sin. Okay, you may have to explain what sin is. A lot of kids will know. Secondly, if you do, tell Jesus you're sorry right away. They can do that. They can know when they sin, and they can tell Jesus they're sorry right away. Now, that right away part is the key part. Okay? Right away. Because when sin is confessed right away, there's no opportunity for the enemy to build up a stronghold in that life. Make sense? Because the blood of Jesus cleanses right away from all sin. Then ask Jesus to help you not sin. Ask Him to help you. Jesus, please help me not do that again. They can say that. They can pray that. And then tell evil spirits to go away. They can do that. But see, this is bringing in a spiritual warfare dimension for your children, for your grandkids. They can do this. Now, it's not okay if they don't use the full command procedure that I've been sharing with you right away. In other words, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by his blood I command you. You know, if they don't go through all that right away, that's okay. But at least they're addressing the enemy, and they're saying, in Jesus' name, get away from me. Whatever they want to say. It's addressing the enemy in the authority and the power of Christ. So they can do this, and it's very simple, but help them bring this spiritual warfare dimension into their life. And you can do that. You can teach them to do that. And so the family is important to God, and the family is also, because the family is important to God, the family is important to the enemy. And with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished for us on the cross and dying for our sins, rising from the grave, we can win all the time. We're on the winning side. Now, I'd like you to bow with me in prayer. And again, as I said earlier at the start here, the most important thing for parents to do is to be born again, is to be followers of Jesus Christ, is to have eternal life in Christ because they have received Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. That is the key thing. Not only is for parents, but as individuals. Because without being born again, as Jesus said, without faith in Christ, without receiving the fact that He died for you on the cross and shed His blood for your sins, you are not saved, and only the judgment of hell awaits you one day, where you will, for all of eternity, pay the penalty for your own sin. Now, it doesn't make any sense for anybody to go there, especially when Jesus has taken your punishment for you, which He did on the cross. And if you'll just believe that He did that for you, accept Him as your Savior, then you will spend all of eternity with Him. If you'd like to do that, just repeat this prayer in your own mind after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. My life is a mess. And I don't know what to do except turn to You. I do that right now. I receive You as my Savior and Lord. I believe You died for me on the cross and paid the penalty for my sins for me. I now turn my life over to You and will follow You the rest of my life. Thank You for coming into my life. Thank You for being my eternal life. Thank You for taking away my sins and their penalty. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, for all of us, I commit us to You as Your children, as Your church, to live for You in victory from day to day. Thank You for equipping us to win every battle over the powers of darkness. Thank You for all You've done for us in defeating Satan and his evil hosts. By Your blood, by the forgiveness of our sins, by Your glorious resurrection, by Your life in us, by our union with You, thank You for Your authority that You've given to us to win over the powers of darkness. Lord, thank You for this time. In Jesus' name.